Hello, and welcome to the third episode of Unapologetically Overcoming, the podcast. I'm your host, Jess Marie. Today's episode is an interview that I did with my very good friend, Dr. Angelica Dempsey. In this interview, we talked about mental health, therapy, and medication. We touched on some of the stigmas related to all of those things, and we briefly discussed how those stigmas differ in the Black community, because there are differences for those of you who still may not realize that. This topic is perceived and handled differently by different races, ethnicities, and cultures. We definitely could have talked much longer about this topic, but I hope you enjoy what we did cover. All right, with me today is one of my very good friends, and I'm going to let her introduce herself, tell us who she is, what she does, and all that good stuff.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Angelica Dempsey, and I am a licensed psychotherapist. I practice in the state of Georgia. However, I am from New York, born and raised, you know. Shout out to the New Yorkers.
always. And how long have you been doing that?
So in the mental health realm, to avoid aging myself, I'll say I consider myself to be an OG, and I've been doing this well over 10 years.
Yes. All right. So let's talk a little bit about stigmas that you are aware of that are related to mental health and therapy.
So there are so many stigmas related to mental health and therapy, and they can be broken down by demographic, maybe even geographic location. But to give a broad sense of what some of the stigmas are, one, I'll say, the problem that the person has is not something that can be fixed. They cannot work out the problem. It's something that they're going to be challenged with for the rest of their lives. Others are, maybe it's too simple to work on. That person may just be struggling with it and they don't want to waste someone's time. When it comes to sex therapy, just in that realm alone, there's a lot of embarrassing elements connected to that. One thing I like to just say right now, for all the listeners, because this could be so helpful. I have people reach out all the time, for assistance with sex therapy, and maybe, due to lack thereof when it comes to performance. And I just want to let people know, oh my gosh, maybe 80 to 90% of the time, if someone is on medication, like a psychotropic medication, there's hundreds of medications that cause issues when it comes to like sexual performance. So while the person may just be embarrassed about what's going on, having a conversation with someone who's licensed and qualified can really just, during a 15-minute conversation, help your problem. And a lot of people are unaware of that, but that's something that I've been getting a lot lately. Some stigmas associated with therapy also would be they can't afford it. Oh, this is a really expensive service and I'm not going to be able to afford it, or my insurance is not going to be able to pay for it. There's so many different stigmas out there. Yeah.
All right. And then what about, I know you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what about stigmas related to medication? What have you seen in relation to that?
So more specifically with medication, you can start with people who are not on medication. People feel like if they do get on medication, then the medication will turn them crazy, you know, quote unquote crazy. People will become very dependent on the medication, and they feel like even though they'd be in therapy during that time, working through whatever their concerns or challenges are, that medication won't really be beneficial. I'll be honest, I am not a med pusher. However, I do understand the benefit of both utilizing medication and being in a talk therapy type situation. I definitely think that it can help people. But, you know, sometimes I have people come in during the initial consultation and the first thing they say, listen, I don't want to be on medication. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I don't even know what your problem is yet. So let's talk about it, you know? So, it's really that simple at times, but it can get that deep for people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think that there are similarities or differences when it comes to mental health, therapy, and medication when we talk about like the Black community and that topic?
Absolutely. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, there have been so many wrongs that have been done to people in the Black community. There's a huge lack of trust, and it's not really just the Black community, but, you know, to answer this specifically towards the Black community, there's a lack of trust. And okay, how am I going to find someone who can relate to me? A lot of people feel as if, you know, therapists typically would be an old white guy. You know, when you look at TV, a lot of times that's the therapist, and you're going to talk to someone about your problems, someone who cannot relate. So it's going to be a waste of time. They're going to give you a diagnosis that is not truly connected or that corresponds with who you are. So a lot of people kind of, they shun the idea of going to a therapist. And even still, I am a Black female, you know, I identify as a melanated person, and can't get past that. But with that, even people I know that are close to me, you know, even if I have a conversation with people and we get a little bit deeper, sometimes people are like, oh, are you shrinking me? People are very, they're feeling as if they're being judged, which is not my coach, Jess. You know me. Absolutely. Once I take off the therapist hat, I'm a little bit different. So that's not what I'm doing. But, people feel as if they're being judged. And people aren't, like, therapists aren't truly going in as non-judgmental people. I will say, when I put my therapist hat on, I am much more non-judgmental than, say, to people who I'm close to. I'm likely going to have that bias. And that's why it's important not to provide therapy to people you're close to, because we are biased. I'm human. So, you know, yeah.
Definitely. What is one tip or piece of advice you would give to someone from any background that might be apprehensive about therapy?
Right. So just give it a try. I tell you, it's funny because I actually provide therapy to all different types of backgrounds. As I mentioned, people who have concerns with sex therapy, OCD, you know, anxiety, depression, of course, a lot of other concerns, grief, couples, children. Just give it a try. Mm-hmm. I do think in reference to just giving a piece of advice, you should vet the therapist. The reality is most people in most situations are not going to go out and just give their deepest, darkest secret to just a stranger. When you first meet a therapist, that person should be a stranger, because if you know them, it's not really ethical. So you have to determine if you feel like you're going to have a connection. Just like with any other connection you'll have with another human being, I shouldn't say connection, but any other relationship you'll have, you should build a connection when you are trying to figure out who you're going to be comfortable with working with. So I definitely think that vetting the therapist, maybe finding a person who has or offers free consultation, so you don't really waste your money. It's 15, 25 minute session, and just ask them questions and see if you're comfortable. If not, on to the next. Yeah. I always encourage people to do that. Vet the therapist. It's only right.
Absolutely. I think that's a really great piece of advice, because I myself have been to several different therapists and stopped multiple times because it wasn't the right fit. And
right.
At different points in time, people have suggested, like, well, maybe you should go back. And I put it off for a long time because I was like, it didn't work in the past, but it was because it wasn't with the right person. Like, my therapist now, I've been probably seeing for like 2 years, and I love her. Like, I look forward to those sessions because she fit, she works, she's, you know, it is a process. And sometimes I can see the, you know, the frustration in going through that process. So that's a really good piece of advice.
Absolutely. You know, you build a connection with this person. There's been so many times when people have come to me, if they've been in therapy before, and they'd say, you know, I was in therapy before, but it didn't work. And, you know, I'm usually like, okay, so what questions do you have for me? Because the reality is, I'm not really in this to just have someone and, you know, discourage them from even getting help, even if I'm not the right person for them. So that's why I offer free consultations and, you know, I tell them if it's not with me in the future, my suggestion is to ask this to your future therapist. I mean, the reality is we have a bad name for ourselves. So if I can even help a future therapist out, you know, to help people, then, hey, you know, I'm working for the therapy clan, I guess, if you want to call it that, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. So, speaking of your free consultations, where can people find you? Your website, social media, all that information.
Okay. So, my website is dr-dempsey.com, which is dr-dempsey.com. Facebook, Dr. Angelica Dempsey. Instagram, it will be dr.angelicadempsey. Doctor would be a dr.angelicadempsey. Yes.
And I will link all of that information also so that everybody can find you. And one last question. Do you have a favorite quote, message, anything like that related to either mental health therapy or just something in general that resonates with you that you want to share with everyone?
Yeah. So, I have two, they're kind of combined. One is from back in my basketball days, proper preparation prevents poor performance. So I think that's really important when it comes to mental health, and it can be applied in so many areas, even when it comes down to actually securing a therapist, because if you properly prepare, meaning you vet the therapist, you do some research on the people, then likely you'll have a better connection with, you know, those who you may be interested in working with, as opposed to just going in with someone and you don't have a connection. You're wasting your time, you know, you're not getting anything from it. But also, nothing changes if nothing changes. So that's something that I think every person who I have come in contact with has heard when it comes to therapy. Understand, you are there for a reason. There is a challenge. Something has to change in order for you to feel better. Something small, something large, I don't know what it is, but I promise you, if something is not working for you now, with some changes, some tweaks, you know, maybe fine tuning, then you'll be closer to the path of the ultimate change, you know, getting to where you like to be. So, you know, yes. That's progress, right? Is progress, no matter how small.
That's right. That is right. All right. I think that does it for my questions. Thank you very much. And maybe we'll have you back again sometime down the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Reach out. I look forward to it. I definitely enjoyed this time with you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank Dr. Dempsey again for taking time to talk with me. The conversation related to mental health is an ongoing one, as you all know, so I may very well have her back on again. All of her information on where you can find her is included in the description for today's episode. And I thank you all again for listening. And remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.